In the name of our one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Those of you who know me might know that I grew up, as they say, churched. I grew up thoroughly churched. Every Wednesday night and twice on Sundays. That's not a joke. That's true. We had some lulls here and there, but usually we were at least three times gathered in a church building. Youth group was on Wednesday evenings. I remember it well. I had this memory of the youth minister telling us, encouraging us, no, really telling us, to look at what we do. Evaluate everything we do and ask ourselves whether we would do this or that if Jesus were present there with us. I didn't grow up Episcopalian. I don't know, is this a thing in the Episcopal Church? Billy, you grew up Episcopalian. Did you hear this? No, okay. So I didn't grow up Episcopalian. That's part of the story. So for example, would you fill in the blank? Go ahead, fill in the blank. You've got something in mind? All right. Would you, if Jesus were standing beside you, would you say X, whatever it might be, if Jesus were there listening? Would you listen to this or that song, or would you repeat the lyrics if Jesus were listening along? Would you watch that movie? And you know which one I'm talking about. If Jesus were sitting on the couch right beside you, the intent, really, I think, was a thinly veiled attempt to try and corral adolescent behavior. It could work, I think. It could be effective, though. I'm not sure it worked on me all that well. One issue with this approach, though, is that this kind of thinking, it tended to make Jesus into a type of moral police. It encouraged us to think of everything we did, everything we said, we watched, we listened to, in terms of whether Jesus would approve or disapprove. And it could be exhausting, really, if taken seriously, especially when the church might have a long list of do's and really don'ts, a moral checklist. Now, the way I read the Gospels, Jesus really doesn't seem like moral police. I don't see a checklist. And there's no watching over people's shoulders with a possible look of disapproval. In fact, he was usually the one on the receiving end of looks of disapproval, over and over again in the gospel stories. This approach, though, does get something right, and it does. In our gospel today, Jesus tells us that, yes, indeed, he is present with us. But this isn't a threat. This is a promise. A promise of his companionship. A promise of his spirit within our relationships. And it's an invitation. An invitation to live in the power of that spirit. I am here among you, Jesus promises. And it should give us pause, though not because Jesus is ready to scold us. Knowing that Jesus is present with us, it should not make us cower. Rather, it should empower us. Empower us in our common life and our work together. So Jesus is here, yes, right now, in our worship service. Here, where I am, and where you are, right now. Jesus is also in many other places of our common life of faith. In our homes, in our work, well beyond these walls. Because Jesus can be anywhere. And so today's passage, it's also an invitation to truly have all we do as Grace Church. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about us, the community. Have all we do as Grace Church be in Jesus' name. Be done in his witness, be done by his example. Be done inviting his spirit. Jesus reminds us this morning, reminds us that the church can and the church should be anywhere. It is by no means limited to the inside of a building. If anything, not being able to gather together throughout the last 6 months, you know, it could remind us of this truth. Because maybe we have begun to believe. Pre-pandemic, maybe still. Maybe we have begun to believe too much that in-person worship on a Saturday or a Sunday, that it was the main thing. It was the main thing about being church. And the other things that we do as Grace, that they're extra, that they're additions to that in-person worship. This has never been true. Even the sense of loss that we have, I have, you have, the sense of loss that this holds for us because we can't be together. Maybe this could be a powerful reminder. A powerful reminder to us that being church, carrying out Jesus' mission entrusted to us, it doesn't change. It's not bound by a building. It's not carried out primarily even through our liturgy. The pandemic doesn't change it, even though we can't be here, because being here wasn't the primary part of being church anyway. Not that it's not important. I know it is to you. It is to me as well. But we're still called to the same exact things, to show God's generosity, God's loving kindness and compassion. We're still called to risk ourselves for the sake of God's equity and justice. That doesn't change. And all these things, they do not begin, nor do they end, then, with sitting in a pew. Yes, though our prayer, our worship, our celebrations together are part of it, they are. But they're part of it now, even like they were part of it in February or March. Even as they have changed, our worship together, what we're doing right now, is part of God's call, but again, it's only a part. It's not even the main thing. What we're doing right now should empower us to do those main things. We practice this. We practice these things most fully through our life and our living in the world. It's not just in our worship service. As important as it is to us, as much as we value it, and I'm glad that we do. And so remember this then as well, if I might. suggest that here at Grace Church, here as Grace Church, this is still happening. We are still living out God's call. We're doing this, even though on the ground, yes, it looks different. But as we cook and we serve food at the community breakfast, as we give out food at the at Martha's Pantry, as we connect with one another through various ways, and one way I'm thinking of is the Grace Cares ministry that's been going strong throughout this whole time. As we minister with our children and our youth, these things are still happening. And as you, yes, you, every day evangelize and preach the good news through the witness of your very lives, that has not changed. If anything, maybe this time is a gift to remind us of what truly is important. What is the main thing in Jesus' call to us? Though we do not have our literal church doors open yet, and that very well could be for some time still, let us remember that this has only ever been one part of living out Jesus' presence. We have always been called to do this well outside of this beautiful, historic gift of a building. So let us take heart. Be encouraged. Jesus is present. Jesus is present with us, among us, through us, encouraging, guiding, sustaining. A pandemic cannot change that. Let us then continue to proclaim this in our life together. Amen.